When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Psych Mom Show. Today, I will talk about how it's really important to make your own money. And I don't know whether this is PC or not. I mean, I assume not if it's something that I think. But either way, I very much believe it. And after a decade and a half in private practice, I firmly believe that both people should make their own money. And although there are more stay-at-home dads now, usually I see stay-at-home moms who have this issue where they're only given a certain amount of money and they don't know what's their money and they feel bad about money. And I just did a podcast on financial abuse and control. So this is somewhat of an expansion of that. But before I dive into all of that, I must tell you to subscribe. Most recent subscriber episode was on when people say love languages aren't based on research. And I talk about why that like does not even matter even at all. And there's 156 or something other episodes that you get for the $8.99 a month. You have to subscribe through Spotify, but then you can listen on any platform. That's a common question I get. And while I have you, I get this so much. So once you do subscribe using the link in the episode description, you will get an email, and then you get a link in that email from Spotify. It goes to your spam usually, and if you click on that, you can listen to the subscriber episodes on any platform at all. So go for it. Make this your year to listen to all the episodes. All right, anyway, so why do I think that it's important to make your own money? Well, because you are your own person, right? And you are going to have your own things that you want to buy. And that should not be dependent on your partner. So I have women who are like so smart and like just good people, and they can make decisions same as anybody else. But instead, because they chose to stay home with children and not make their own money, and because they didn't talk about this and they do not feel that they have access to joint money, which is, of course, another option, which we will get to, they like literally cannot do something like, I don't know, buy something that costs more than $50 without asking their husband or something like that. Like a few Kindle books could be more than that, you know, or like somebody's going through your credit. As by somebody, I mean your husband, usually could be your wife if you're a stay-at-home dad. But I usually see this with women experiencing this because guys work more while the woman stays home more, et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, the guy goes through the credit card bill and he's like, what was this? Like, what was this? Like, fuck you, you know? I mean, that's how I feel about it personally, is nobody should, unless you are incredibly, incredibly irresponsible with money, in which case we will get to that too, why should, if you're a grown-up, why should somebody say, why did you get us new curtains from Target? Well, because you wanted to, you know? And in these cases, there's always this kind of disconnect where the person that makes more money is, it's like, therefore, like, their money. And so then they get to tell the other person who's, like, home all day looking at the shit curtains not to get other curtains, where they don't care about the curtains because they're not at home all day, you know? Or, like, people who buy a bunch of stuff for the kids because they're with the kids all day. So they want some more games for the kids because that occupies the kids and they're with the damn kids. The other person isn't with the kids. So of course they think that the kids could still keep playing the same game all the time because they're not with the kids who don't want to play that game anymore. And, you know, like, obviously there's a zillion examples. So, however, what do you do if you want to stay home with the kids? Well, first of all, get into your time machine, or if you don't have it or it's in the shop, go into couples counseling and decide together that your money is joint money, or get, you know, or get, I was about to say, out of that situation, you know, because your money is supposed to be joint money. If you decide to get married and you both decide for you to stay home with the kids, whether that's part-time or full-time at home, well, then you're doing something and that thing is worth money. You know, and it's worth more than that. It's priceless. If you guys decide that it's important for you to stay home and you really are being with the kids and you're close to them and you're really, you know, making their life good and what have you, great, wonderful. That doesn't mean that you become somebody's indentured servant though, right? So then it should, of course, be joint money. And the couples where they are happy with the guy working and the woman staying at home feel like it's joint money. They do not feel like she is beholden to him and has to ask him every time she makes a purchase, because that is being a child. That's like what children do. They have to ask for money to buy things. And so some people try to say, but I give my wife an allowance. If you give your wife an allowance, there are two situations where that is okay. Both of them are, there's only one situation where it's okay. And that is that you both agree on that because she overspends, like compulsively, like she's a shopping addict, like every single day there's like hundreds of dollars worth of shit coming to the house and you legitimately feel like you are going to be in, you are already in debt probably, and you feel like you are just, your credit score is going into the toilet and you just cannot control this person. And so then you guys both decide that this is what you have to do, probably in couples counseling or something like that. You decide that, you know, she's only going to get access to this amount of money, same as if she was an alcoholic, right? And you didn't have alcohol in the house. So like she can't have like a credit card. I mean, this is an unusual situation. Most people are not actual shopping addicts, but then again, you know, most people don't get addicted to most things, but some people do get addicted to things, of course, whether that thing is porn or gaming or shopping or spending or alcohol or drugs, right? You know, so, or listening to the Dr. Psych Mom show, which is the only good one out of all of those. So the point being, if you have decided that you are the one who is going to help your wife with her shopping addiction problem and she knows it's a problem and therefore she only gets X amount on her debit card, fine. But like, and if you're in a situation, by the way, where she's like spending you out of house and home and that's for real, and it's not like you spend the same amount, but your stuff is better somehow. So like you spend to go on like hunting and fishing trips and shit, but she spends on a girl's night out and you think she's overspending just because she doesn't make the money. That's not a real thing. What I mean is that like most of the expenditures, most of them, like what most people would think of as most, actual most, are hers. And there's like shit all over the house and it keeps piling up. And she says she's going to return it and she doesn't. And it's like clothes that she barely wears. That's shopping addiction. If you want to look up shopping addiction, that's shopping addiction. She's shopping like all the fucking time and you cannot keep up with it and you probably have credit card debt. So if you're in that situation, then you should get into couples counseling immediately, right? And you have to, because otherwise she's going to spend you out of house and home, right? So you can't do that. And you got to agree on some way to deal with that while she gets some sort of treatment for that, right? And there is treatment for that, same as there's treatment for any kind of addiction. But the point being, in a situation where both people, nobody suffers from a spending addiction, savings are going up in general for the kids' college, or you're paying down your mortgage or paying down your car payment or whatever it is, things are generally progressing in the right direction, then for one person to just not have any of their own money is terrible. That person becomes a child and they don't want to have sex with you probably anymore because they're like a child and you're like their parent, or they're like a prisoner and you're like their jailer, and they don't feel romantic. Nobody feels romantically toward their parent, you know, hopefully. And so if you want to get rid of the parent-child dynamic, you have to get rid of the parent-child differential that has cropped up in the monetary sphere, such that only one person is allowed to make financial decisions, and or only one person's financial decisions are, quote, good or right or mature or whatever. So you can do that. you know, if you want to stay home with kids, you can do that and figure out that the money is joint. Many, many couples both work and the money is joint and it's not divided by some ratio or what have you. It's like literally just joint money and they make joint decisions about it. And guess what? For bonus points, who's good at this? Why don't you just pause it? I'll ask you a question and you'll see how good you are at Dr. Psych Mom podcast listening. Why would certain couples be better than other couples at managing money and making decisions together about money? Now you pause it and you think. And then when you come back, which is probably now, if even one person did that, I'd be surprised, but whatever, you just gotta try to switch it up sometimes here, the people who saw it at home. So you should know that already because of what I keep telling you about how important your upbringing is and how instrumental it is in setting templates by which you continue to operate subconsciously throughout your life as an adult within your own intimate relationships. So if it was not a thing, if money was not a problem for your parents, it's unlikely to be a problem for you. If they were always negotiating and fighting and blaming each other for money, about money-related matters, and it was always an issue, then it is likely an issue in your home. You know, and so you can, again, no time machine. So you have to get into counseling, usually is best, or there is actually financial therapists, but I don't know what they do that's different than regular couples therapists that can talk about money. But it's a thing. I mean, every niche, you know, there's niches are proliferating in this world. But you could also go to a therapist and a financial advisor, you know, who would sit down and tell you, oh, this is what I think you should do for investing, budgeting, et cetera, et cetera. And you could come to decisions that way, and you could talk about what money means to each of you, how it was managed in your family of origin. Certainly don't do that with the financial advisor. He'll be pretty confused, or she, but with a therapist. That's where you can talk about how you think about money, why you're so scared about losing money, spending money, saving money, how you feel about how money's divided, who makes decisions about money, how did that go when you were growing up, how does it go now, blah, 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 blah. You talk about it. It will make a lot of sense to you why you operate how you do. And as I frequently say, it will lead you out of Plato's cave into the light so that you could see how you're operating clearly instead of assuming that your way of spending / saving is the right way and your partner's way is the wrong way. Frequently, by the way, men who saw their father at odds with their mother and felt that their mother was overspending tend to think the same about their wives. Women who felt constricted by who saw their mother constricted by their fathers tend to feel the same by their husbands, or they tend to be very, very into making their own money because that's how they're going to make sure that's not a problem for them in future, right? So, and that brings me to back to the title. The simplest way to do this is to make your own money, of course, you know, because then you know you have your money. Now, if you do make your money, some guys on the internet say to me that the way that it goes in their house is that, and of course, who the hell knows what really happens, because these are people on the internet that are also, you know, very rude, but enough of them say this thing, that they make the money that pays for the mortgage, etc., but their wife's money is all extra fun money for her. Well, that is terrible. I'm the first to say that's absurd and that makes no sense at all. So that's where I get back to. I originally had a podcast on merging your money, which is how I feel is in the spirit of having a loving marriage and an egalitarian and close and loving marriage is to just merge the money. Like all the money goes into one account. And then after that, if there's very big expenditures, then we talk about them. But otherwise, y'all just do what you do, you know? And if there are big purchases, you come together. And if you can't come together, you talk to a therapist about why you can't come together. And it'll go into all the areas that I told you, etc. But the point being, if you are in a situation where you make, let's say, 100K and that goes to everything that is the real meat of the family, such as the mortgage or the car payments or the groceries, and then your wife makes money and she makes, let's say, 25K, but because it's so much less than you, then it just goes to Target runs and and at the Target runs, she uses your money for the essentials, but her money for the fun things. Well, that's messed up, obviously, right? Unless, of course, you use the equivalent, you know, the rough equivalent of what she spends for her fun money out of her quote pocket, you spend for yourself for fun money, because that's the other variable that many men forget, is that they also have hobbies and clothes and cars and, you know, whatever. And then they are spending out of their money, the equivalent of what she is spending out of her money. But then, like, she has no more money after she does that because she makes less and he still does have money. So, I mean, in that case, I mean, I don't think that it would be in the spirit of a happy marriage. Let's say that she's spending, you know, the whole 25K on shit from Target per year, but then he's also spending 25K on like his motorcycle hobby. You know, should she have to spend only 25 divided by 4 so that it's equivalent? Like, I mean, that seems like a not good thing. It seems like together they make 125 and they're each deciding to spend 25 each. So then remaining, you know, is 75 and whatever. But you see my point is like this whole thing with the ratios, you know, we're going for a spirit of love, you know, and fairness and compassion, and we're both two adults and whatever. So I really, really, really think the micromanaging of the ratio splitting like that, you know, like based on how much you make, then only you could spend this. This is not how loving marriages operate. And if you saw a marriage where you felt that one parent was constantly getting victimized in the financial sphere, then that is likely informing. It is definitely informing the way that you think about money in a relationship now. But my personal advice to my own, you know, daughters and young female clients, etc., is make your own money. Make at least some of your own money so that you are not just completely beholden. You don't ever feel that way. And if you take off with children, make sure that both people understand that you are an important person too, and you are doing very important work by staying home with the children. And therefore, the money is joint money. The money that he makes during that time is joint money. I really, really hope that with all of the new guys supposed to be super involved at home and doing half as much as the same half of the total obligations, that then more men will also be working part-time if they want to during these formative years of the children being home. And I do see that. I do see more and more men have flexible hours while the kids are babies and toddlers, etc., so that they could spend more time with the children before the children are school age. And that's great. So if you view it as though having children is a finite amount of time when they are home, and therefore we will make less money during that time, and then we can both go back to work after that, that seems to work for a lot of people. But then again, you have to have similar goals. You have to not have these huge blind spots informed by seeing kind of tragedy from your perspective as a child in the financial sphere between your parents growing up. And a lot of people have seen, like, you know, bad things happen financially to one or both parents or the family as a whole. And that really, really affects them and how they think about money and sharing money and who has what money. And it makes them obsessive about money or hoard money or overspend money. I mean, it can go so many different directions. So either way, TLDR is if you struggle with money and you do not feel that you have your own money, and it is not something you want to do to make your own money, then you gotta get into couples counseling to get on the same page so that nobody's telling you how that you cannot buy, you know, something from Target. And I just say Target because everybody loves Target, you know. And if it is getting to a point where in your relationship you feel that you are going to separate, but you can't separate because you are scared that there's not enough money for two households, then go back to work and make sure that there's enough money for two households. You know, like so many women across like so many centuries have stayed in very, very unhappy marriages because they felt that they had no options. But you do have an option. You always have an option of getting out there and making some money. And I'm talking specifically to the women who are too anxious to do that. You know, there are women who feel that they, and this goes back to a different podcast, when your wife is too anxious to go back to work because of the school-aged kids. So that's another important one to listen to. But in the absence of any like huge like medical issues or something like that, most people, most women who don't go back to work, who want their own money and want independence, but they're too scared to go back to work, they have low self-esteem. They just feel like nobody's going to want them, like they're not going to be successful at a job, like they took too much time out of the job marketplace, like they're not going to be able to keep up with the demands of a job. And that stuff is anxiety, you know, because 75% of women who are working age work. And so if you are somebody who feels like you wish you could go back to work, but you just don't have the confidence, then that's also something to go to therapy and discuss. Because it is likely that that is related to very core self-esteem issues, you know, that you owe it to yourself and to your children to resolve such that you can model a happy and confident adult for them, you know, an adult woman. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this, at least made you think a little bit. And I will talk to y'all soon. Have a great day, guys. Bye-bye.